Hello, mech fans around the world, and those that aren't fans yet, and welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom, the podcast where your two totally knowing what they're doing co-hosts, Fuzzy, that'd be me, and Chris, watch, summarize, critique, and make fun of the entirety of the Gundam franchise from beginning to end. This is Episode 8, and we'll be talking about Episode 8 of Mobile Suit Gundam 0079, Winds of War, in which we humanize our enemy. Moyagare, and take it away.
Hello, and welcome back to Mobile Suit Fandom.
I was like, I caught shit for stealing the intro from him last time, and we're just gonna wait this time and see when it happens.
Yeah, I don't know if he'll leave this in, but we just had a little Mexican standoff here. There were guns pointed, except because we're nowhere near each other, they were howitzers.
Yeah, just ICBMs.
Yeah, just intercontinental ballistic missiles pointed at one another's homes. Don't ask how we fit intercontinental ballistic missiles on our various properties, because I don't own property. veiled and threat.
Welcome to Mobile Suit Fandom. I'm Chris.
I'm Fuzzy, as always. And this is episode 9?
8?
9, because we're one episode ahead of the show.
Oh! Wow, we really need to... we really need to start doing more two-part episodes in one episode so that the numbers aren't so close to each other that I'm just constantly questioning.
Well, unfortunately, a lot has been happening the last few episodes, whereas when we get to another episode that is mostly just fighting, because, like, you can't comment too much on just fighting.
Yep. So then this, the Big Mac punched the little mecha, exploded, and...
Yeah, like, you can only describe Kai getting the gun cannon on its knees and Amuro tabletopping Zaku so many ways. which isn't exactly what has happened at one point, but I remember that happening in either this or the last episode.
Definitely there's some of that in this episode.
Yes.
But Kai, this... spoiler alert, Kai's a bitch.
A little bit, but, I think this episode, Bitchface improves a lot with his character, for a variety of reasons. But this episode is...
Because this is episode 8. This is episode 8 of the show, 7 of the podcast, I think?
Other way around. This is...
Fuck! Yes, you are correct. I'll edit that out.
Wait, no, you're right.
Fuck! God damn it!
I'm sorry, I'm a mess.
Fucking fight me, Fuzzy.
Fight me IRL, I'm fucking jacked.
Okay. We've met each other IRL.
That's the joke.
We both know better.
It's episode 8. It's episode 8. This is episode 8. Cool.
Of the show, not of the podcast.
Wait, how the fuck did we get... What?
I don't know. We're on Winds of War. I don't know.
Fuck. Okay.
Fuck.
This is episode 8 of the podcast, too. How the fuck did that happen?
It can't...
Did I not put a file in the fucking thing? Am I just a piece of shit?
Maybe you... You know what? It's not important.
Okay, yeah, you're right. It's not important. Today we're talking about episode 8 of Mobile Suit Gundam. The Winds of War.
The Winds of War.
Yeah, what he said. That's what I said. The
Winds of War. It first aired on May 26, 1979 in Japan, and August 1st, 2001 in North America. This episode was written by Kenichi Matsuzaki.
It's...
that was poorly thought out. I forgot that they had the name at the end, and now I just look like a dipshit.
Also, for the viewership at home, listenership, because you're not watching a podcast, I don't think. Especially one that is an audio-only medium. Unless Chris was planning on editing this together with a visual essay behind it, which I don't recommend.
It's just a video of you playing with your Gundam figures.
you know? Fair.
Speaking of which, we need to have a conversation.
About what?
You've been buying and putting together quite a few Gundam figures recently. Do we need to have a...
an intervention?
Because they're not cheap, Fuzzy. You're a college student.
You're not my mother. You're not my real mom.
Good point. All right, on to the show.
That being said, I also bought those a long while ago, and fuck you. I'm just now getting around to putting them together. And also, beautiful. I can't even pronounce one of their fucking names properly.
Good job.
I just call it a Gundam, a Scuba Man. That's not what it's called. It's called, like, a Scupulus, a Scopulus, something like that. It's something Greek. It's not a very good model. Do not buy the Mobile Suit Gundam Wing Scuba. Endless Waltz G-Unit HG Gundam a Scuba Man. It's not very good. Also, yes, that is the full title that you would have to search for that.
Jesus.
Because sub-shows of sub-shows of sub-shows. Anyway, we're not talking about Mobile Suit Gundam Wing because we would have at least 100 episodes between here and there.
But yeah, we're never get this podcast will never be finished.
Ever. Don't worry about it.
All right, let's do this. Episode 8.
The Winds of War. So, this episode is, first of all, I actually wrote a summary myself for this episode, and second of all, this is, I think, one of the best episodes of, like, the first chunk. Because, goddamn, this makes the average person actually relate to this conflict. Up until now, I think a lot of the fighting, we've just had kind of ideas hitting each other.
And also, like, half the population.
Yeah.
Like, that's just ridiculous, and you just shut that out.
It's such a big number that it's hard to actually take that in to what that fucking means.
Yep.
This episode has an interesting bit of focus where, along with the main cast that we follow every episode, we get a mother and child that we follow this episode that we're introduced to pretty early on in the episode, and we pretty much follow them all through this day. And it really humanizes this conflict. It suddenly makes it, oh, that's what's happening. These are not just amorphous blobs of ideals throwing giant robots at one another.
Yep. I mean, there's also that.
But... there's also that later in the episode, which is very much worth it, too, because it is Gundam.
Yep. So we meet Coley
is that child's Coley. Name, yes.
Just falls down and cries. which is pretty much what he does.
That is pretty much what that child does.
Real good at it.
He's very good at it. The episode starts with, like, White Base flying through the Great Canyon. That's at least what they put it in the sub. I don't know if they actually call it the Grand Canyon in the dub.
I'm not sure. I can't remember. It didn't stick out to me, whatever it was.
It stuck out to me because they say Great Canyon in the subtitles, and I'm like, come on. Come on. So they're flying around it, and they keep scraping on various bits of geography. And we cut to Amuro and Frog getting tossed around like they're inside a cocktail shaker.
They do the anime fall onto one another.
Not quite the ecchi anime fall on top of each other. Yeah, senpai.
There wasn't glitter. There wasn't glitter and shinies and accidental smooches and blushing and bleeding noses. But they did fall on top of each other, and there was some like implied. Oh, look, they're finally touching each other.
A little bit. There was that little moment, but then they hear some crying. And Amuro's like, there's crying in the sub-bridge, which I don't know if that has actually been mentioned yet, but let me tell you, we will be seeing a lot of the sub-bridge for the next few episodes.
Why are they letting a mom and small child in the sub-bridge? Like, the civilians have way too much freedom on this military vessel.
I've kind of assumed it's because A, this vessel is approximately fucking huge. Inside.
Good luck. Good luck watching us all.
Yeah, basically that, and like, I imagine if there weren't such a thing as a animation budget, we would be seeing, you know, a lot more people, but like, as it stands, it seems like this giant horse ship, is only piloted, crewed by like 15 dudes.
Yeah, they said there are 100 civilians.
Yeah.
And we see maybe 15 of them. So. Yes.
There's a pretty consistent problem of animation budget coming up against sheer numbers and what the true size of this conflict is. And so that's why we have this wonderful thing as humans called suspension of disbelief.
It's not suspended mine. So, anyways, they find this kid.
And his mom. She's like, it's okay, Coley. Look at that. That's the Earth. You never seen it before.
That's from there.
Except from space. But that's what that is. That's the Earth. Your dad lived here. He was a pretty cool dude. And I'm implying he is no longer with us. He is most likely dead.
Yep.
At which point the song I have titled Contemplative Song begins to play as they stare out the window, and then Amuro and Fraw do nothing to get these two people out of an important room, which you would think they might want to, you know, keep civilians out of where I presume some extra controls for the ship are? But fuck me, I guess? And they just turn away, and, Amuro is casually like, man, I wonder if all mothers are supposed to be
Which,
like that.
Super fucking awkward
yeah.
sentence. And even more awkward is Fravo's response. She's like, oh yeah, that reminds me, you haven't seen your mom in a while, have you?
Yes, which...
fucking orphan.
Yeah, which is this wonderful practice we, in fiction writing, like to call foreshadowing. Guess who we meet later in the fucking series?
It can't be his mom because he's an orphan. He's definitely not an orphan. Shut the fuck up.
He's never been called an orphan before.
He's an anime protagonist, motherfucker. I know better.
Okay, you know, that's fair. He speaks fair things. At this point, Haro, the tiny ball robot Amuro built that I'm actually not sure if we've ever mentioned.
I mentioned him in the first episode.
Okay.
Because as him being like, as evidence of him being a
super smart
savant.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure if we had mentioned this tiny green ball robot that has hands.
It's three parts adorable little robot and three parts claptrap and annoying.
A fair amount of claptrap and annoying. Let me tell you. That being said, it does serve various stupid plot points, such as just now getting a call from Bright.
Yep. It's his pager. Not a phone, a pager.
Yeah. I'm actually not sure. Like, I imagine Bright was like, hey, Haro, can I talk to Amuro? And Haro was just like, nope, but I'll tell him. Click. You
just
sassy
shitty
bitch.
Shitty receptionist. You little motherfucker. Come here, Haro.
I'm gonna fucking scrap you for parts, I swear to God. Bright is calling Amuro, and then the ship fucking hits another canyon wall, and Reed, sitting on his captain's chair like a piece of garbage, is like, you're flying recklessly, being so low to the ground, you fucking garbage captain. To which point, Bright just fucking turns around and is like, look, using his superior knowledge to point out that there's a bunch of fucking dops, like, a mile above them, watching them, and that they're trying to stay out of view, you piece of shit.
Which brings up 2 points. A, I've noticed no one ever says anything off screen in this show. Like, obviously, like, he should have been like, oh, why are we flying so low when they started going lower? And they would have been like, oh, we're gonna stay low, so they can't see us. But instead, like, oh, we can't have them do that then because it's not on camera. So, we have to wait and have him just be like, huh, we're flying real low for like 30 minutes before he's finally like, why are we flying so low, guys? I'm trying to figure this out. And also, oh, go ahead, sorry.
Well, to be fair, I have noticed that it seems like Reed is passed out a lot of the time in the chair. Or at least he's animated that way, and by animated, I mean not animated.
Yeah, there's just they really
still images of Reed, like, it looks like he's fucking unconscious. It looks like he's just passed out in his chair.
This episode, you can see where the production money went. It definitely went to Persia and Coley, and then, like, obviously, the Gundam fights. That's where most of the money goes. But, like, the other people... it's just Amuro and these two get animated properly this show. And everybody else, like, moves their head, maybe. Or turns slightly.
Also, who the fuck is Persia?
Isn't that her name?
Mom? I didn't catch that throughout the entire episode. And so now I'm wondering where you got that.
It's on the Wikia page.
Oh, okay.
I have both open.
When did they say that, though? Now I'm legitimately like, when did they ever say that?
They say Coley 100 times because he falls down all the fucking time because he's an anime kid and his head makes up 3/5 of his body weight. But the other thing I noticed here is apparently dot pilots can't look down because the white base is fucking massive. Massive. And it's not like they're flying above the clouds or anything. Like, the camera pans up, and these dops are moving faster than white base. So obviously, a few moments before the camera pans up, those dops were behind the white base. And should have been able to see it.
They do, admittedly, just after, call up Garma and Char and be like, hey, yeah, we're above white base, what the fuck should we do? So I'm guessing they did see it. But they definitely make no movement to look down and actually see it.
Yep.
So I assume that that's the one thing that they did off screen. They looked down much earlier.
Okay, so only protagonists, only the good guys won't talk off screen.
Bad guys, that's the Earth Federation handbook.
That's why Zeon's winning this fucking war!
You're making a lot of assumptions here, buddy.
Hey.
Germany's probably not going to win the war in the show about totally not World War II.
Excuse me. I said winning, not going to win.
Okay, fair. That is fair. Also, by the way, in case it wasn't clear yet, this show is a retelling of World War II, but in the space future.
Yep.
In case that wasn't clear.
In case we haven't spelled it out above to the letter every fucking episode.
Yeah, a little bit. just by the way, this is World War II. Just a little gentle reminder. The Zaku is the Panzer tank. Haha. They actually did do interviews about that at one point where they asked, you know, Tomino and the mecha designer. I forget the name of the mecha designer. It's something I should really know by now. Like, hey, like, why did you do this, that, and the other? It's like, oh, well, these are the tanks. These are just tanks. These are tanks that look cooler.
Yep.
Because they're bipedal super robots.
And they have one eye and cool spiked pauldrons. Oh, good. They have fucking skirts. Ooh. Anyways.
Exactly.
I fucking love the Zakus, y'all.
God. I could talk for 30 minutes just on Zeon mobile suit design because
but we can't because we're 20 minutes into this episode and we're on paragraph 3.
That's true.
So oh fuck, I'm just throwing shit around.
So also keep in mind we like fucked around for like 10 minutes at the start, so.
Don't judge me. Alright.
So. You know, they contact Garma, the Dops, who's just like fucking rearing to start fucking shooting at White Base. Like, just let's
get him and do it. Let me get him.
Yeah, then Char, using his superior knowledge, points out that they're actually using space magic to set up an interference field around them.
Something about Minovsky particles.
Yeah, Minovsky particles is what they are called, but I prefer to refer to it what it really is, space magic. Space science magic, excuse me. Also, as a brief aside, it was at this point in the show, and also writing the summary, that I realized how they use space magic bullshit to pretend that World War II tactics still make sense.
Yep.
Like, that's it. That's how they do it. Space magic. At this point, Char uses his own space magic to produce a PowerPoint and convince Garma to calm his shit.
Calm the fuck down, Garma.
Then, back on the Trojan horse, Reed turns on the floor using space magic, or I guess turns off the floor, so they can use it as a window, and states that we're in the Great Canyon, which amuses me greatly, because it's the fucking Grand Canyon and we all fucking know it.
It amuses me grandly.
I'm gonna be under your fucking bed.
Fair. This is part I gets me because he does this long speech of how like, oh, here's where we're at, and here's this crater lake, and right here where we're most vulnerable. I wonder if they're gonna ambush us there. I wonder if that's why they haven't attacked us yet, because this is the place where we can obviously tell we're most vulnerable. I wonder if they could. I wonder if these they know that too. I wonder. Is anyone there? Goddamn, fuck, what's the word I'm looking for? Territory.
Motherfuckers. Yeah. Nah, we're probably anyways. Fine. We can just mosey on by it. It won't be, it won't go wrong.
Nope.
But yeah, they make a bunch of plans, and, Reed and Bright are just casually like, hey, Amuro, it's all on you. It's all your fucking job. Haha.
You're the fucking only card we have to play, despite the fact that we have all these other cards we could play.
Exactly. At which point, Kai, shockingly being a character, ever since he got punched in the face, still a bit of a shit, but now with character development, brings up a decent point, where it's like, apparently it doesn't matter what we do, and a bunch of people are like, that's kind of fucked up to say, but he's kind of right. Holy shit. And then a bunch of old people and families walk into the bridge because, as Chris mentioned, security is lax, to say the fucking least. Apparently there's 100 civilians and 8 people who actually work here. And they're like, we want to get off because there's a town nearby. Specifically, Persia, apparently, the mother from earlier, is like, yeah, there's a town nearby called Saint-Angers, where it's like, my husband's from there, and we want to land and hang out here. To which Lieutenant Reed, because he's a dick, is like, yeah. And Bright uses this opportunity to be like, hey, I got a fucking idea because I'm not a bitch like you, Reed.
I like to assume it's his primary plan is to get these fucks off his ship, and the fact that he can make it a tactical advantage is just bread, just butter, like just added, just gravy on top.
Would you like to go through any more condiments?
You know what? Go fuck yourself. How about that condiment, motherfucker? Jelly. It's jelly on top. It's fucking.
Icing.
Cordial cherries.
Cordial.
Icing. Fucking, it's 3 shots of fucking rum. I don't.
On top of your bread.
On top of my bread. Fucking soak it up. Anyways. I can't remember what the fuck I was mad at you about anymore.
So Bright gets an idea. Let's make a deal where we have a ceasefire and we get all of these chuckle fucks off of my goddamn ship.
Real talk, when we first started this episode and we're just giggling at each other's stupidity, I had the thought, we should just name this podcast. This podcast should have just been named Chuckle Fucks, because... what are we, Fuzzy? Mobile Suit Chuckle Fucks. Anyways, back to you. Pre-recorded message from Fuzzy.
It's at this point that we get, like, kind of a cross-cut of both sides doing their various nefarious plannings. Char and Garma use this, and they're like, okay, we're gonna put all these Magellans over here, and this, that, and the other, and Char starts thinking to myself, man, Garma is a punk ass.
Yeah, Char is fucking real critical of Garma this episode, and I'm like, Garma's not doing a terrible job. Like, what the fuck does it matter to him if there's a couple of fucks off here? Like, he's got a good point. He's like, oh, if we give them time to drop off these fucking civilians, who aren't gonna hurt us anyways, we can just get a fuck ton of tanks into our little ambush lake.
Yeah. And
now, granted, it does blow up in his face. Spoiler alert. Because the good guys do some underhanded shit.
Yeah. But Char thinks to himself, like, man, Garma has mercy, what a bitch. And I'm like, yo, Char, yo, those are civilians.
Yeah, what the fuck?
What the hell,
and guess what? Guess what? They're gonna land in your, they're like, gonna make a life for themselves in your territory, which means they're your civilians now.
Your problem, asshole.
They do not like the fucking Federation anymore, because they don't want to be, like, they, so much so they're just like, yeah, drop us off here in, spoiler alert, what is obviously a war, like, this place has been wiped out by war. Yeah. This is a fucking desolate fucking crater of a city.
They pass by, like, three houses, and it's like, oh, we could live there, and I'm like, wouldn't there be people living there, you fucks? What the hell? You can't just steal a house?
It's like,
oh wait, maybe you can steal a house, because all these people are probably dead.
Probably.
Anyway, yeah, so how fucking dare Garma have mercy?
How goddamn dare he?
And then this is where we really start getting to that sweet meat and potatoes of this episode. Because Char, and this brings up a good point about Char and Amuro, neither of them are particularly human creatures for this kind of opening part of the show. Like,
kind of shitty... Go ahead, sorry.
Well, yeah, they are both shitty, but Amuro's like, you pilot the Gundam. What about, like, my feelings, or, like, being Trump, you pilot the Gundam. Okay.
We'll pilot this Gundam now.
And then Char is like, he's doing that too, but, you know, he's got some nefarious shit in the background, but he also doesn't show any other emotions besides smug. Yep. He got surprised that one time, excuse me.
Gasp.
He gasps once. Yep. Otherwise, he just showers kind of homoerotically and smugs.
And kisses Garma.
That's only in the fan art you have looked for yourself. And then shared with your unwilling co-host. But then, like, all the other characters who are named, at least, they exhibit empathy a lot of the time, and we see that happen, whereas our main protagonist and main antagonist don't. And that's kind of interesting, to me at least. And we're going to keep seeing some more of that empathy of other, not these two characters.
Yep.
Back on White Base, Kai is blowing a hole in the stupidest ship I've ever seen. Yep.
The gun parry, which I kind of secretly love.
Chris secretly loves it. I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Well, so I don't give a fuck about the gun parry, but I really like the one that comes after that, where it's just
the gunship just... version.
Yeah, it's just so ugly.
It's
so ugly.
Yeah. But yeah, so Kai, like, puts some C4 on it and then runs behind some crates. And behind
with some children?
The three kids are there for some reason, asking yeah. a bunch of questions, and Kai yells at them to make them shut up. And it's...
I want the scene before this scene. Because they broke my rule, where they obviously had a conversation off screen. And where they said, hey, we need someone to set off some explosive charges on this gun parry. Who are we going to send? Are we going to send, like, Kai or Sayla or, you know, any of these competent people? No, let's send Kai. He's real angry and shitty. And while we're at it, he can babysit some kids with these explosives.
Why not?
Just
fuck
like,
it.
I think Bright or Reed was like, look, one of two things is going to happen here. They're going to succeed, and we'll have a hole in the side of this thing that we need. Or...
they're going to blow themselves
die.
Up.
Die. And then, bam. Problem solved.
You know, one can dream. I respect Bright for thinking that far ahead. he dared to dream. But then Kai yells at these kids, which instantly, plus 5 points. Like, you've... You've gone from bitch face to punk ass. Congratulations, Kai. Gold
I also
star.
I love the animation of the kids when he's yelling as if a mighty wind were blowing at them.
Yeah.
They all kind of lean over.
Yeah. They get blown back a little bit. And then he blows a hole in the side of this ship for reasons.
And then they get blown back a lot of bits.
Yeah, they get launched off screen. Fucking 10 yes. out of 10, best character. Kai wins. Instant. Redeemed! Fucking air horns start playing. A march, a parade happens in the background. I assume the children died from this. They didn't, but I assumed, and I was briefly happy. Hi, my name's Fuzzy. I hate children, apparently. No, just bad anime ones.
Yep.
Because anime children are bad.
Like 9 out of 10, yeah.
9 out of 10 anime children are garbage. Certain exceptions apply. Like the kid from Non Non Biori, that one's great. Anyway, Garma, meanwhile, is pretty confident in his plans, and Char just, as earlier mentioned, smugs at him, and is like, he's probably incompetent.
He's really twirling his mustache hard this episode.
He doesn't have one, but he's twirling it anyway.
That's what it's his metaphorical mustache.
Metaphorical mustache. He actually has a glue-on mustache just for twirling.
Just for, right before he takes his sexy sensual showers, he twirls his mustache for a little while.
To get all the twirling he did throughout the day in at once. So then the gun parry takes off from White Base, and boy does it look worse in flight. We talked about it last episode, but casual reminder, imagine a cargo container with, like, you know those long double-bladed helicopters? That on top, but the rotors are on the bottom of the cargo container. Not on the top where they belong, on the bottom. And they look like fan blades.
Yeah.
And there's three of them.
Also, like, they're not big enough.
No.
Also, with the way they color the cargo container,
it's
looks
bright
like it
yellow.
Yeah, it looks like it should separate from the actual thing. And if that's the case, why the fuck are the propellers on the gun, on the container itself? Because, I don't know.
Otherwise, then the fucking helicopter part would just have to, like, spin through the air on its own, like a gently blown streamer.
Also, like, the front of it's the same size as the back of it. So it would just lean forward and fall because it doesn't have two propellers on the front.
All in all,
this
real
whole thing
stupid.
Makes no fucking sense.
Inside the gun parry, Amuro, Kai, Fra, Jose, and I thought it was Hayato. It's not. It's some random guy we haven't ever met before.
Fuzzy, I fucked up and looked at the assault version of the gun variants.
Calm down. We're talking about a different show here, buddy.
Okay.
We'll get to that. Fan yourself.
I got it. It's fine. I'm fine. I've recovered.
And so those four plus random guy we've never met before are all on board as crew with seven entire refugees. Or it's like 7 to 9, somewhere in there.
It's 9. It ends up being 9.
It's 9. 9 entire refugees. Cool. I've been casually talking to nothingness. So you'll get that whenever you come back to review the footage.
I'm leaving it in.
Maybe, like, put it at the end or something. Anyway.
I'm sorry about that. Let me actually turn my... I thought I could have swore I fucking muted it before I called you. Nope, apparently not.
Apparently
beautiful.
Not.
Good job, me. Alright. Last time on Mobile Suit Gundam!
let's go for the full hour, and then we'll maybe end up with an actual 45 minutes of content. anyway. So, All the Federation guys, and then 9 refugees, the mother, Persia, from earlier, is remarking, man, I can't wait to raise my son here on Earth. And Amuro is like, that's nice. And they share, like, a little sweet moment where he's like, I get that. That sounds kind of nice.
Well, I'm really glad that I'm here on this mission to drop off these refugees and not about to have to go to war again. That's real nice. I'm enjoying these moments.
Yeah.
Knowing that I'm just going to go back to the white base and this whole thing is going to be fine.
Yep, definitely. No war going to happen here. Zeon, meanwhile, sends an escort ship in the form of the Lugun Recon Plane, which still looks kind of stupid, but less stupid compared to the gun pair.
It fucking has... Okay.
Antenna?
And they look like fungus.
Yeah, okay.
They look like tiny little mushrooms.
Yeah, the Lugun looks like a kind of regular-ass plane, but on top of it, it's got, like, 2 sprouts of, like, these little mushroom recon dishes. And it's, like, it looks kind of goofy, but compared to the gun parry right next to it, it looks, like, fine. It at least looks aerodynamically possible.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, it does. That's like... Well, I mean, those things look like they'd have a lot of drag. It would be constantly trying to pull up.
Yeah.
But I guess, I don't know, man. It's
I'm not
it's
an aero Gundam. Scientist. There should
it's also Gundam.
There. It's also Gundam. So, it does a loop around the ship, and we get cut to inside... And we are introduced to the pilots of the Lugun, Captain Big John.
I was going to say, we're introduced to one of them.
And his co-pilot, who is never named, but... Big John.
Weirdo.
He's just a little dude. He's whatever.
Big John's a family man, though.
Yeah. So they pull up...
I guess we'll get there eventually.
Yeah. We pull up next to the windows of the gun parry. The Lugun pulls up next to the windows, and Fraw looks out the window and, like, flirtatiously waves.
She's like, y'all can get it.
Yeah, pretty much taunting Amuro.
She actually... Doesn't she turn to him and be like, what, are you jealous?
Yeah, straight up.
And he's like, no, they're the enemy, you dummy! What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. Basically, exactly that. Oh shit, fuck. I dropped things.
Good job.
Professionalism in podcasting. And then, like, the camera pans over, and Coley, the child, also waves, not flirtatiously. And then the Zeon pilots are both like, oh, that shit's adorable, and both of them wave back, and they just smile and have a little human moment. It's really cute. because just these two Zeon pilots just wave at a child, and the child waves back, and everyone's just happy about it, and it's really nice.
Yep.
Because, you know who fights in those terrible wars? People.
Well, now, hold on.
Nah, people.
I think these are the only two people on the Zeon side. The rest are...
At this point, they fly over a lake, which they're like, man, that must have been a bomb crater, because that's not on any maps. In a practice we in the writing community call foreshadowing. Kai, Amuro, and Fra go downstairs, and set off some smoke flares, and Jose up there fakes an emergency landing. Char learns of this via the Lugun reporting in and immediately suspects some shit is up. But then the smoke continues and they really sell this emergency landing and he's like, ah, it'll be fine.
Despite the fact that, guess what's behind that hole? A cargo container.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a cargo container. What has caught fire?
Who knows?
And...
Who fucking knows? Not... Clearly, Zeon has never captured a gun parry. I assume.
No, they're like, I guess the engine's right there.
No, I know why they never caught a gun parry. Because Zeon has too much style for it, so they just burn them. They just like, burn them immediately.
Hey, we captured this really expensive ship. What are
slag
we going to do with it?
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's like, awful.
But,
slag it.
But it's...
I don't care. I want it to be made in slag. I don't even want ships to be made out of it. I want it to be slag.
Okay, but just... like
slag.
All right, Char.
And that's why. That's exactly how it went every time.
Anyways...
That's 100% truth. We see it later in the series, I promise.
Yes.
It's facts. In Gundam The Origin, I think.
Gundam facts.
Yeah, Gundam facts. Gun facts.
Facts.
Wait, that might be something else.
Yeah. It's definitely just Gundam facts.
Oh, okay.
No one would ever misinterpret that at all.
No one,
I don't know
yeah,
what you mean.
No. Okay, cool. Please don't use that hashtag.
Hashtag gun facts.
No.
At Mobile Suit Fandom. No, Mobile Suit Pod. We have a... I don't know, it's Twitter. Anyways.
It'll be in the show notes.
Tweet all of your hashtag gun facts to Fuzzy Sinoki or whatever the fuck your shit is.
This. So then the smoke keeps going and everyone but everyone but Amuro and Jose chill out or jetpack away. Like they just
Bail.
Get jetpacks on and go away.
And this is where they say, five men and two women and three elderly or something like that.
Yeah.
Like they end up giving the number, which comes up to nine. And I'm like, fuck, there's only nine. They've got 91 more fucks to get off the ship.
Yep.
I was so, because when I first watched this, I missed the number and I thought they just didn't animate the rest of them getting off. Yeah. And I was like, yay, they're free. No. They didn't even get rid of all the old fucks. Like, there was like 10 old fucks that tried to take hostages last. And they didn't even get rid of all those.
Nope.
What? Y'all are bitching so hard. Get the fuck out. Get the fuck out, old guys. Anyway, you know what? Okay.
Chris is deeply frustrated by this.
I hate them. I hate those old fucks.
I get it.
I was so happy.
I get it.
I was so happy that they were going to be gone.
I get it. I really do. Mom and Coley start their long walk way the fuck out there to St. Angie's.
Yeah, they're like, the other is like, hey, we're going to go up to that house and stay there, and you should come with us. She's like, no, we'll walk to this city. It's not that far away. And if it's been evacuated, we'll come back.
Yeah.
Everything here's a crater.
Yeah.
Everything. Put two and two together.
Yeah. Also, as, the crew jetpacks away, Fra, flirts with the pilot again.
Yeah.
Not Big John, the other one.
Yeah. Because the other one, the Big John is a family man and would not respond well.
Yeah, no, Big John has a mission and some empathy, and he doesn't need any of that flirting shit. Meanwhile, the other pilot's like, she fucking waved at me, dude.
Yeah, he became a fluid for a second and just, like, weebled around the cockpit.
It's true. He instantly became made of flan. Is it flan?
Oh! Flan? Also, I missed this. Flan? I missed this, before. But when they started to, like, go in for the quote-unquote emergency landing, it cuts to inside the gun parry, and there are no fucking seatbelts. Not one. Everybody's just sitting in there. Like, whatever. And then we cut to film in this thing. This fighter, this jet plane that's for combat. Guess what they don't have? Fucking seatbelts.
Hi, viewership. You may notice a sudden jump in audio quality.
No time has passed.
No time has passed. No one was a dumb idiot at all. Ignore the man behind the curtain. I said fucking ignore him. Anyway. So
yeah, Mom and Coley fuck off to this city that's totally going to be there.
Yep.
And is not a burning, smoking crater.
Char, meanwhile, is thinking to himself, man, I would think they would sneak on some soldiers to that, you know, gun parry, that giant fucking cargo container, that fucking huge cargo container that's big enough for, oh, I don't know, a Gundam. But no soldiers there.
And we're about to have my favorite scene of this whole thing. So they follow the little jetpack ninjas back to White Base. And as soon as they're getting there, like, they start to turn around. And the little guy's like, oh, wait, you going back to check on those lady and her kid? Man, you're such a softy, or whatever. And so he's like, they start to fly back. And we cut to the gun parry. And he's like started to fold out. And you can see like the Gundam's feet. Because it's strapped to the inside of this thing as it's holding out. And they see it coming back and they're like, oh shit! It hit the button real quick to make it close.
Yep. Basically. Which... Oh no! Dunk! except it's not a dunk. It's a very slow hydraulic movement. Yeah. I would also like to note that everything that goes wrong this episode is due to compassion.
Yep.
The Zeon pilots turn around, fly by that little scene that happened. Mom and child, almost die, like, several times on this long...
Yeah, they fall into a fucking gorge.
Yeah, oh, they
onto
almost...
Onto a tiny cliff.
Yeah, they almost fall into a fucking gorge. Nearly die, lose all their stuff. Poor bastards.
Yeah, it's just gonna be real bad for them once they get, but it'll be fine once they get to St. Angus.
Yep.
It'll be fine.
Totally fine.
It'll be fine.
So then Zeon pilots fly by, Amuro gets in the Gundam, and the gun parry opens up, and he stands up using the exact same animation cells as Gundam Rising, I noticed. Like, the exact same cells. And I'm like,
Beautiful.
Back on White Base, it seems like Kai actually fucking planned this himself. Like, they are heavily implying that Kai's the one who made the finer points of this plan. So, fucking another gold star, buddy. Like, you're doing pretty good this episode.
The only black mark is he didn't blow up the children. Otherwise, other than that, perfect record.
Yeah,
in this mission.
He got a gold star for what I thought was killing three children. Fuzzy Sainowaki does not advocate the murder of children. Please don't take
Except
that out.
He does.
And
oh, the power of editing.
Be a merciful god. be a merciful Garma. So, the Zeon pilots fly by the
Coley and Persia, and the child trips and eats shit. Yes, I made sure to write that down. The Zeon pilots fly by, and they're like, oh no, we're gonna die. But they just drop a little container off, and they're like, oh no, it's a bomb! And then a parachute opens, and it's like, oh? It's just...
Also, like, Amuro bails on the plane, because Amuro's supposed to go jump in the fucking lake and chill out in the Gundam. But he's like, no, they're going back! They're evil Zeons! They're going to fucking kill that kid! I gotta go fucking be a hero! And runs the fuck off, and is ready to shoot them out of the fucking sky. They drop this thing off, and it turns out to be, another thing that's very suspect for me is this is, again, a recon and a recon war jet. Fuck, does it have, like, aid?
Droppable aid capsules?
Yeah.
What I assumed is that it was, like, something that would pop out if you had to bail out, and it was, like, a little capsule for living in. Like,
you know what? I'll accept that, because it is recon and probably gets shot down a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. That was my assumption, so that's what I went with. But yeah, they just drop off this little fucking capsule that works both as a little, like, sleeping vessel and has a bunch of food in it and supplies, and they just drop off their emergency capsule and then wave and leave. Cause Big John is a good guy.
And so Amuro fucking ducks behind a rock and he's like, cool, I got this, we're fine. Everything's fine. They're good. Oh, I hope they didn't see me as they fly by. And then he, like, angles his head up a little, just a little bit, and just makes a giant beam flash across the fucking net. Everybody's like, holy fuck, what was that? You gotta go check that out.
Yeah,
just from the sunlight reflecting.
Apparently the sunlight reflecting off the Gundam's eyes is equivalent to a nuclear blast in terms of luminosity.
They need to stop fucking polishing that shit. Jesus.
Fucking painted drab colors. Jesus.
Oh my god. I've watched this episode twice, because I watched it a long time ago when we first started doing this. And I watched it again before we recorded this one, so it would be, because it's an important one and I want it to be fresh. And both times it happened, I screamed at my TV. Like, what the fuck is this bullshit? Have it ping on the radar or something. Like, they weren't even looking that direction. They're just like, oh, there's a laser. anyways.
Yep, that's basically exactly how that goes down. This naturally catches Big John's attention. Even though it had the luminosity of a solar flare, Big John is just like, huh, what was that? Not the appropriate reaction given what we as the viewership saw. And so they turn around and it's like, oh shit, it's a Gundam. And Amuro's like, oh shit, it's a Lugun? Big John, something. They trade some fire and Amuro naturally shoots down the tiny fucking ship. And they crash into a lake.
They're like, oh fuck, you got a laser!
Yeah. Garma proceeds to initiate the attack, and we see a lot more familiar reused tank animation. Kai jumps in the gun cannon and then jumps out of White Base, trying to look cool, but he fucks up the landing.
The first thing he's like, hey, we're pretty high up, y'all want to just...
lower it a little?
Like, lower it a little bit so I don't fucking die? He says break my legs, I think.
Yeah.
And they're like, nah, you gotta fucking do your best, boss. He's fucking okay. So he jumps out and eats it. He pulls a Coley.
Yep. So he Coley's all over the ground. That sounded dirtier than I wanted it to. And then he immediately realizes that he is not very brave. And proceeds to shit himself a little bit.
Yeah. So, it may just because it's been a while since I watched the other episodes. He's been in combat in that thing before, hasn't he?
Yeah, but I think last time I don't think he was out of White Base. Like, I think he was shooting from the window, almost. And, he had Amuro there at the start.
And Gun Tank was there, too.
And Gun Tank was out, and everyone knew what they were doing, and
he was rolling with his crew.
Yeah, and he had his other gun, and he just pops out now with just his shoulder guns, and runs out of ammo pretty fast, and gets real scared. Excuse me. And yeah, just shits himself. We also get a frame of the gun cannon in doggy style, because that's how mm-hmm. it shoots, mm-hmm. apparently.
And then my favorite, you know it's coming, my favorite thing ever happens.
He runs out of ammo.
Runs out of gun, and not only runs out of ammo, is supremely surprised that he ran out of fucking ammo.
After, now, like, granted, spraying and praying the sky for, like, 30 seconds, trying to
now,
hit shit.
Granted, his is a laser gun and should run off the power from his core, and it's, like, unlike Amuro's, it's not a self-contained gun. So he should have a lot more ammo. Also, it never pans back to show his dash, so we don't know what the readout for his... Like, if the Gundam is the most advanced mobile suit they have, and it like, maybe this shitty one has, like, a little... like, dot system, like, with three dots, so you know when it's full, you know when it's half-empty, you know when it's empty.
So maybe the gun cannon has a legitimate excuse for why running out of ammo happens. We only know that Amuro has none. That piece of shit.
Fucking Amuro.
So at this point, Char begins basically just tacticsing the fuck out of this battlefield. Yeah. Because he fucking knows there has to have been a suit in that fucking gun parry.
It's really great, because he's like, ah, this is their plan. They're going to hide the Gundam in the thing, it's going to hide in the lake, it's going to pop out and attack us from this other side, we need to pull back. And
the moment he says this...
No, it's not even... Like, they let it happen for a moment where it's like, what the fuck is his name? What the fuck is the other dude's name?
Garma.
Garma's like... Well, I don't know that. And then, bam! I get them attacked from the other side.
Yep. And then Amuro does exactly that. Also, we get a really cool little clip of animation at the 1844 mark, for those of you curious, of Amuro just shooting his gun with one arm, and it looks fucking cool. Really buttery, Amuro, smooth animation.
Amuro does a lot of really cool, ill-advisable shit in this episode.
That too. Also, the laser gun has recoil somehow. Don't know how that works, but fuck it. Everyone on the bridge of White Base is very glad that Amuro finally got here, and in the background, Reed looks like he has passed out. His eyes are closed, and it looks like he's having a grand old nap.
It's hard to tell, because I think he's one of the... Is he one of the ones that, like, his eye color is the same as his eyelid
color?
Just okay, so he's
weird.
Just asleep. Yep. That's just bright. Okay.
The fighting ramps up, and Amuro proceeds to kill a lot of people. Mirai...
Like,
yeah, like a lot of people.
Like a lot of them.
Mirai fucking dodges missiles while piloting White Base, which is fucking intense given the fact that this thing's the size of a skyscraper. Like, fucking top-notch Mirai. Good piloting.
Yeah, especially considering she was like, I've had some simulator training.
I'm okay.
Cut to a day and a half later, dodging fucking rockets with this, Empire State Building.
Yeah.
Is this when Amuro fucking throws his goddamn shield at people?
Yeah. Amuro proceeds to kill, like, three people in a row using just his shield.
He hurls the shield at somebody, fucks them up, fights a little bit without a shield, goes and picks his shield up again, and I'm like, yes, good, you need that shield, you piece of shit.
And then he throws it.
Throws it!
And he's not Captain America. It doesn't come back. He's gotta go pick it up.
He has to go pick it up!
It's absolute trash.
You never throw your shield. You have a gun.
Fuck it. Fuck it, though.
You didn't even run out of ammo this time.
Fuck it. He can throw his shield. It's fine. Meanwhile, we cut to Persia just healing up Big John and his friend. Because Big John has a wrist injury, and she's just bandaging it, and they just talk a little bit. Like, man, fighting kind of sucks, and it's like, yep, it does, but so goes war. And she's like, yep, that kind of sucks. And then they're like, well, anyway, bye.
Back to the action.
Yep, at which point Amuro whips out the beam saber, and that's not a euphemism, and the good old fight song kicks in. He then kills a lot more people. At one point, Kai just fucking pushes a Zaku off of a cliff, and the Zaku falls and dies.
Fucking
savage. Great. Just absolute savagery. And, then something that actually kind of fucking concerned me happened. There's only one Zaku left at this point, and he has seen all of his friends die via shield and or gun and or sword, so he does what any reasonable human would do, and fucking screams and runs away in his giant robot.
Yeah.
Amuro...
And he gets away, and everything's fine.
No, Amuro...
Our protagonist is a hero and would never cut down someone if they're running away.
Amuro chases him down and cuts him in half.
Fucking murders that dude.
Fucking murders that dude. Like, actually murders.
He went full Char this fight.
Yeah. Like, top to bottom, too.
I'm sure this wasn't going to come back and bite him in the ass at all.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's going to be completely fine with all this.
It's not great, Jesus. Garma is, fucking freaked out by this, cause this entire fight, he got dunked on. At which point Char is like, next time I'll help you. I'll go out there with your boys and I'll fight with you. And Garma is legitimately appreciative of this, but meanwhile Char is like,
twirls that goddamn mustache.
Yep. And then we cut back to Big John and the Coley family. And Big John's like, alright, we're gonna walk back to General Garma's. It's been a pleasure.
Oh, by the way.
Like, they walk 20 paces and then turn around and go like, by the way, there's nothing more that direction. We're currently... a year ago, this used to be a town called Saint Angis, and it was destroyed entirely.
Yep.
And she's like, what? And then she breaks down crying because this was her husband's hometown, and they are standing on a flat plain with a lake in it.
Yep. And Big John's like, well, I've done my job here, and turns and walks towards
the lake. And John just fucking walks away. He's got places to be.
Got families to see.
Then we cut up to White Base flying into the distance, and we zoom in on a little window with Amuro and Fra staring out of it, and as they wonder, I hope those two are okay. And somber music plays, because war is hell. And then we get the dun dun na 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 na, and get the preview of the next episode where the Gundam's fucking jumping around and shit, and it's like, I am not prepared for this kind of tonal shift in the span of 10 seconds. God damn.
Also, spoiler alert, I also then went and watched the beginning of the next episode, and they fucking just pull it back like, no, we're gonna be sad again.
Yep, because...
Amuro!
Well, I hope you enjoyed episode 8 of Mobile Suit Fandom. If you want to yell about how either of us are garbage, or that you like what we do, you can find us on Twitter with @MobileSuitPod, and our personal Twitters from there. Also, if you're new to Gundam as a whole and really want to give it a try, check out the official Gundam YouTube channel, Gundam Info. They currently have the 3 compilation movies of 0079 available until sometime in July, as well as a few other Gundam series available for free, legally. Until next time, mech fans, remember, Captain Garma is young. He wouldn't understand the feelings of family men like us.
Everybody roll Force and Destiny.
Everyone, please roll Fantasy Play, Star Wars, Force and Destiny, the RPG game points. I'm hilarious.
I'll just be here for a little bit. Might as well say some things into the recording while I'm at it. Don't know if he'll notice I actually spoke in this part or not. If somehow he does, I do want it to be put in that, the gun parry's really fucking stupid, holy shit. I literally don't think I can go into enough detail on how goofy this ship looks, and so I implore you to look it up. Not only that, I love the design of mechs in this show. Like, I'm planning on writing, like, an essay on this, because it is a fascinating bit of using visual thematics in order to clarify a point. But for some reason, a lot of the ship designs in this show, all of that really intelligent design, is instead handed off to a chimpanzee who shits in his hand. Especially for some of the Federation ships. Jesus Christ. Like, in this episode, we also see the Luggen recon ship, and at least that, like, makes sense a little bit, because it's got, like, some radar dishes to, like, scan things, but then, Christ, man. What the hell happened to the gun parry? Who hurt you? Who hurt the one who designed this? Who did design it? We're gonna look it up. Who dared? Fuck, it doesn't say. Okay, if it appeared in Mobile Suit Gundam, then that means that, what, mechanical designer Kunio Okawara. What happened to you, Kunio? Are you the one, are you responsible for this? He definitely designed Mecha. Did he do... I guess, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if he's the one responsible for it. Oh, he did Mazinger Z. That's interesting. Oh, no, he didn't do it. He just was inspired by it at one point. Oh, okay. Interesting. So super robots turned into real robots. That's what Gundam pioneered, the real robot genre. Interesting. Today we learned while Chris was getting chicken.
I remind you, sweet Chris, I fucked up the first time on the outro, so use the second one. Love you. Hugs and kisses. Bye.